Amen. Let's give the Lord Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the first book of Thessalonians. Very well-known passage of Scripture and a very brief passage of Scripture consisting of only three words. I had some reservations this morning about what I was going to preach. Last night I went to bed and I told my wife, I said, I just feel rather stumped. But this morning I feel very, very confident that I have heard from God. And I want to preach to you what I feel God has given me. So I want to get right into this, and it is good to have my wife and my daughter here with me for the first time. Amen. Amen. And it's always good to be here with my family in Alabama. Amen. Hallelujah. So love and appreciate everyone here. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 simply says, pray without ceasing. Let's say that together. Pray without ceasing. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is powerful and it is anointed. God, I'm asking you to move in this service in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, and our spirits to receive this word from you. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody shout, amen. I want you to shake your neighbor's hand, give them a great big God bless you, and tell them, pray about it. Amen. You may be seated. Everyone belongs to and comes from a family, be it a good one or a bad one, an intact one or a fractured one. Everyone comes from a family of some kind. With nothing more than just mentioning the word family, there, whether it be our own or someone else's, there begins to arise an appeal to our most intimate emotions and memories. Sometimes those emotional appeals are good, sometimes they are not so good. No matter where we go and what we do, nothing changes the fact that we come from and are part of a family. We can change homes, cities, states, countries, citizenship, and even our last name, but we cannot change the fact that we come from a family. It is an irreversible fact of life. The family was not our idea, and it is not our idea. And this is why government, or anyone else for that matter, does not have the right to change its definition. It is a huge lapse in logic and an error of enormous proportions to think that the family is a human phenomenon and invention. The family is something programmed into the system we know as creation. In fact, families exist among non-human species as well, both highly developed and primitive, assemble themselves in family units. Humanity has organized itself in numerous ways throughout history, but no single form of organization has secured a place for itself like the family unit. It is in part for this reason that every human government, including the one we're a part of now, eventually begins to disrupt, weaken, and redefine the family unit in hopes that the family unit will yield to the aims of the government. You see, it's far more difficult to maneuver and manipulate people who are tied to their families. In order for certain agendas to be satisfied, the ties that bind must be cut loose. I want you to stop and consider some very significant historical demonstrations of governments and world powers intruding on the family unit. In times past, many atheist and communist regimes directly and openly opposed the parent-child relationship. I'm reminded of the Young Pioneers, which was communist Russia's version of the Boy Scouts, who made heroes out of young men and women who would rat out their parents for not giving their rations of food to the government, a penalty which often resulted in their parents being executed. There have been very notable civilizations like the Persians, the Romans, the Chinese, who carefully picked apart the parent-child relationship so as to produce family-less individuals who could then be wholly dedicated to the state. However, being that the family is embedded into creation, these people's bodies would have to be mutilated and modified so as to break them free from the natural cycle of reproduction. Your Bible calls them eunuchs. Other civilizations had entire branches of their militaries comprised of eunuchs. When soldiers have no one to come home to, operating on the field fearlessly is a lot easier. Modern and ancient slavery also sought to dismantle the family unit. A labor force comprised of family-less individuals is every greedy kingdom's dream come true. When you have no one to come home to, you're willing to work as much as you have to. These are the obvious facts about how humanity, past and present, has opposed the family unit. What these attacks don't reveal, however, are the spiritual roots laying beneath the surface. For every human government and power that opposes the family unit, I want you to rest assured this morning that there are also spiritual governments pulling cranks and levers to dismantle families. Not just any family, your family. Not just any family, but your family. I want everybody to say, my family. There are very real spiritual powers, forces, dominions that want to dismantle your family. I am very sad to say that there are even people here this morning that those forces have dismantled some of your families. You do not need to be in the church to have the devil mess up your family. You do not need to be in the church for there to be a spiritual onslaught against your marriage and against the relationship between your children or against the relationship between you and your parents. The devil doesn't like anybody's family. He don't care what church they go to. He don't care what religion they are. He does not want families. Amen. I would submit to you this morning that the devil and spiritual forces at play, as well as human entities, amen, want to produce mobs of family-less individuals. Because the truth of the matter is that you cannot create a deplorable society when families are intact. If families are intact, you cannot send everybody to hell in a handbasket. Amen. The Apostle Paul warns us in 1 Timothy 4:3 that the Spirit speaks expressly that in the last days there will be doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. And what will they be preaching? They will be forbidding people to marry. Amen. I know that as Pentecostals, and perhaps on a broader scale, we might even be called Protestants, but I know that as evangelical, Pentecostal, Protestants, whatever, we tend to hear that verse and we think that the Bible's talking about monastic religions where they forbid people to marry. And I think that, there is some validity to that. But I want you to know that it has much broader implications than that. In the last days, there are going to be seducing spirits that are going to try to convince people you are better off by yourself. You don't need no man. You don't need no woman. You don't need no woman. You don't need those children. You're fine all by yourself. You're happier by yourself. It will be forbidding you to marry. It will give you all the reasons you should not get married. There are human powers that will try to structure the economy and try to do a little bit of civil engineering of their own. Amen. To try to convince people that it's better to stay alone. It's better to be single. I got news for you. Amen. It is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for women to be alone. We are not just pro-life. We are pro-family. We are not just pro-life, we are pro-family. And we are living in a day and an age where the family is under attack. And if there's ever been a time when the church has to promote the family, protect the family, pray for the family, it's right now. I know this may not be a popular message, but I feel like the Holy Ghost wants me to preach to somebody whose family has been under attack. You've been under attack financially. You've been under attack spiritually. You've been under attack with your health. You've been under attack from all different kinds of angles. I want you to know if there's ever been a time for us to stand up and pray for our families, it is today. It is right now. It is this morning. It is this second. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The growing culture of people refusing to marry is growing every day. Only half of Americans are married now, down from 72% in 1960. Furthermore, now only 20% of Americans get married before the age of 30. The number of new marriages each year is declining at a slow and steady rate. If you are an unmarried adult today, you face a lower chance of ever getting married. And the longer you wait, the higher the divorce rates go if you do end up getting married. The Pew Research Center found that only 40% of unmarried adults think marriage is, that 40% of unmarried adults actually think marriage is obsolete. That means they don't even think it matters. That means they don't even think it has anything to do with healthy emotional and mental hygiene. That means they don't think it has anything to do with being a better person. And can I tell you, they could not be any more wrong. We believe in the family here. We are behind you when it comes time to get married. We believe that you should pray for a husband. You should pray for a wife. Come on, somebody help me preach. I know that even in Pentecost, there are a growing number of single young men and single young women. And I want to preach to them just for a minute here. I want you to know, pornography does not replace a wife. Amen. Running around junior college for the rest of your life does not replace a wife. Amen. Walking around aimlessly through your does not replace a wife. Young ladies, you've got to pray and believe God to send you a good man. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Come on, somebody. Help me preach. A good job does not replace a man. An education does not replace a man. A Prada purse and Gucci shoes do not replace a man. A brand new skirt does not replace a man. A BFF does not replace a man. And God knows there's nothing that can take the place of a child. This is the way we were created. This is not our idea. This is God's idea. This is not our system. This is God's system. And there's nothing wrong with this system. I'm sick and tired of Pentecostals and church folk that think there's something wrong with having lots of kids, that think there's something wrong with having a wife and a husband, that think there's something wrong about fasting, about who they're going to get married to. Hey, we don't do things the way they do things out there. We are on a different time schedule. We're in a different system. We're part of a different world. We are not of this world. Come on, I need somebody to help me preach this morning. This is not in my notes, but I want every single young lady to hear me good. If you are going now into adulthood and you are still not married, the last people you need to be hanging out with are a bunch of divorced, bitter.
bent, nasty old women. I don't care if they do go to the church, and I don't care if they have been baptized, and I don't care if they wake up talking in tongues. If they're talking that yin yang in your ear, that you don't need no man, it's time for you to cut them off. Cut them off Facebook. Cut them off Instagram. Cut them, sit on the other side of the church if you have to, but you gotta fuck. You cannot afford. Come on, come on, come on. I feel a little snag right there. We need to break through that. We've got to resist. We've got to fight back. We've got to take a stand for God's purpose and God's intention and God's way. Somebody shout hallelujah. Jesus tells us that in the last days, the family, everyone say, that's my family. The family will be under attack. Matthew 10 and 21, Jesus speaking, he says, brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. This is happening in our day and in our age. 2 Timothy 3 and 2, the Apostle Paul under the unction of the Holy Ghost says, for men, that includes women, shall be lovers of their own selves, disobedient to parents. Families are torn apart by people who love themselves. If you want to jack your family up, just be convinced that it's all about you. If you want to ruin your marriage, just be convinced that it's all about you. If you want to ruin your children, just be convinced that it's all about you. If you want to break your mom and dad's heart, just be convinced that it's all about you. If you want to participate in the devil's program, all you got to do is be convinced that even though I live in this house, even though I didn't give birth to myself, it's all about me. If you want to be on the devil's team, all you got to do is say, I don't care if God did bring them into my life, it's all about me. If you want to be part of the devil's team, all you got to do is just convince yourself, I don't care how many kids she has given me, I don't care how hard she has worked, it's all about me. People, we got to get out of the me phase. It's not all about us. It's not all about our feelings. Come on, come on. Come on, new life. Come on, new life. There's a spirit out there coming against your family. It's trying to convince you to love yourself more than is. I hope you don't think I'm playing a semantics game here, because I am not. But I want you to know that what the Apostle Paul is not saying is that a person should not care for themselves. When he says that people will be lovers of themselves, what he's actually saying is that people will be in love with themselves. The Bible is okay with you loving yourself, but it is not okay with you being in love with yourself. There are some folks, they are in love with themselves. They are fascinated with themselves. They are obsessed with themselves. They don't care what people say. They don't care how many kids they have. They still deserve to party a little bit once in a while. Honey, when you give birth to children, the party's over. The party's over. Party been over, homegirl. It's time for you to love those kids. It's time for you to live for somebody else besides yourself. Can I tell you there, you're not living until you're not living for yourself. You're not even been experiencing what life really is until you're living for someone else. I'm preaching about praying for your family. I'm preaching to some young couples. You don't need another counseling session. You've got to pray without ceasing. You got to hit the altar this morning, and you got to hit the altar tonight until your family comes back together. Not by the power of a doctor, not by the power of a therapist, not by the power of a psychologist, not by the power of a social worker, but by the power of prayer, by the power of Jesus, by the power of God. wrong. Quit fighting for with your husband and start fighting for your husband. Quit fighting with your wife and start fighting for your wife. Quit fighting with your kids and start fighting for your kids. Oh, let's magnify the Lord right now. Satan is very well versed in the concept of that if a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. I am troubled. I am troubled because I see it within the church dynamic. There are countless people. I'm heartbroken to say that even in this sanctuary, perhaps, that are really just standing by as the devil tears their family apart. You know, I'll go one step further. Young people, don't let the devil tear your home apart. If you are old enough to pray, you are old enough to be the saving grace of your home. If your parents are fighting, you need to hit your knees, kid. You need to hit your knees, young lady. It's time for you to become a proactive, participatory member of your family unit. And it's time for you to take on. Come on, the devil will try to convince young people you're powerless. I'm going to destroy your parents. I'm going to destroy your home. You can't do nothing about it. In fact, it's your fault that your parents are getting divorced. Young person, it's time to hit the floor and go to war. It's time to lay on your face and cry out to God and say, God, save my mother. God, save my father. God, save this marriage. God, you know we can't have this. I'm preaching to some young people here. You need to start praying for your single mama before she destroys herself. I'm preaching to some young people right now. You need to start praying for your single dad before he makes another bad mistake. You need to get in there and you need to become an active member of the war. The war. The war. We are in a war, people. We are in a war, people. We are in a war, people. And you got to get in or go home. You got to get in. Or go home. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost trying to break in this place. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. I'm preaching. Somebody, you came into church this morning. I think it's several somebodies right about now. You came into church this morning troubled, distraught. You're actually even a little upset that the pastor's not here because you were thinking to yourself, when I get in there, me, my husband, my kids, we're fixing to have a talk with the pastor. Well, you might have to wait a week or two, but you need to sit down and have a talk with Jesus. Amen. You need to sit down and have a talk with Jesus. I'm not against counseling with your pastor. That's the will of God sometimes. But I'll tell you what's the will of God all the time is hitting your knees and praying. It don't matter who did what and who didn't do what. At some point, you got to get down on your knees and pray together and pray. I know you want to blame it on money, and I know you want to blame it on who lost the house and who got the car repoed. It's time you hit the pause button on all that stuff, and you start hitting the play button on prayer. It's time. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on. Nobody wants to hear this, but the Bible tells us pray without ceasing. Pray with, that's not Brother Prado's preaching. That's Brother Paul's preaching. That's the Bible. You got to pray about it. You got to talk to God about it.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, we need to pray right here. I don't feel to move forward until we pray. But we've got to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to pray. Even if your family is doing good right now, I suggest you lift your hands and you begin to pray a covering over the families of New Life. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. 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 Oh, Jesus. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost moving right now. Come on. You know, I'm not quenching the spirit. I'm actually almost done. We are living in a very distorted world right now. Raise your hand if you have a Facebook account. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you have an Instagram account. That's over 75% of this crowd. You see, we shape tools and then those tools shape us. And one of the ways that social media has shaped us is that we live in this, I'm trying to think of a nice Christian bad word. We live in this ridiculous world where it's all about us. I'm not preaching against social media. Trust me, I'm not. But I want you to stop and consider neither Facebook nor Instagram have a thumbs down or a dislike button. It's a world where if you don't like me, then you don't need to be in my life. It's a world where if you don't think this is a cool hairdo, then on with yourself. It's a world where if you don't like 50 pictures of my kid a day, well then get on. It's a world where if you don't agree with me, then you don't need to be with me. And that is one of the most ignorant ways to live your life. Because not everything you do is cute, and not everything you do is right, and it's not all about me, and it's not all about you. It's about... Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. If you got people now that when they're not behind the keyboard, they'll cut anybody off who might even have some constructive criticism for. You have kids that'll cut their parents off because mom and dad says, I don't think that's good for you. I don't think you should wear that. Maybe it's time you get a job. You are 40 now. And all of a sudden you want to just start cutting people off and writing people off because they're not giving you a thumbs up and a pat on the back. Hey, let me tell you something. One of the best things for you is somebody in your life who loves you, but who could talk to you, who loves you, but who doesn't have to pat you on the back 24/7 and give you a thumbs up. You need somebody that can say, eh. You need somebody that can say, you wrong, that's not right. Y'all need to help this chubby preacher preach right now. Come on. You need to get out of... You need to get into the real world, honey. You need to get in.
Oh, Jesus.
Closing it. There are two kinds of fires. Good fire and bad fire. Paradoxically, good fire is comprised of bad things. Stuff we don't want. Bad fire is made up of good things. Stuff we do want. Good fire burns up old wood, hay and stubble, crumpled pieces of paper. Bad fire burns up the house, the family photo album, the wedding pictures, the car we worked long and hard for, to pay cash, to pay with it all cash. That's a bad fire. But what I see taking place in the world today are people setting bad fires to all the good stuff around them. I see people setting fire to their family because they don't have the picture perfect family. I see women setting fire to their husband because he's not picture perfect. I see men setting fire to their wives because she's not picture perfect. I see children setting fire to their parents because their parents aren't picture perfect. Mom and dad don't make enough money to give me what I want. Mom and dad don't give me enough thumbs up and enough likes. Oh, it's tight, but it's right. I hope that by the time I'm done preaching, we put the matches down. And we embrace our families and our marriages, warts and all. It's not time to walk out. It's time to pray. We are going to pray right now. This is the conclusion of this sermon. However you want to do it, if you want to get in your car and do it in your car and go home, you are free to do that. But we are just going to have a prayer meeting. Not for us. Not that our husband would come around and see things our way. We're not going to pray for our wife that she'd come around to our way. We are not going to pray that mom and dad get a raise so we can get a new pair of shoes. We're going to pray back every demonic attack against our homes. And if your home is lovely and Mr. Ed lives in the front yard and the beaver lives in the room upstairs, more power to you. But I want you to pray for the families of New Life. Because in case you haven't noticed, we're all in this together. I hope that I do not seem intrusive and offensive when I say this. But for those of us that, there are some of us that we need to pray, God, 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 help me on this journey to find a husband or to find a wife. Help me, direct me, lead me, mold me. It's getting tight. Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray. Don't leave church this morning without having gotten on your knees and prayed for your spouse and prayed for your parents and prayed for your kids. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You holding your baby right now? Pray for that baby. Come on. Some of you kids, your parents are not here. You know why they're really not here. You need to pray. You need to pray. Some of you came to church fussing and fighting this morning. You need to get over that right now. Get over it right now and begin to pray for one another. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, come on. You could pray 15 minutes before going home today. Come on. You can pray 15 minutes before going home today. Come on. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Thank you. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Before we're dismissed, I want us to all stand to our feet. If you're praying and you feel to keep praying, don't worry about it. Keep praying. We are going to pray collectively now over our church. I want us all to raise our hands. I want us all to repeat after me. Say, the Lord bless us. The Lord keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us. The Lord be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us. And give us peace. Peace. Peace in our home. Peace in our marriage. Peace with our children. Peace with our parents. In Jesus' name. I want you to give Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. Come on. Come on. Come on. I feel a wonderful spirit. Come on. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you. The Lord give you peace. I feel the peace of God right now. I feel the grace of God right now. I feel the face of God shining on us right now. Come on, come on, just swim in this for a second. Come on, soak it up. Soak it up. Soak it up till it drips into your marriage. Soak it up till it drips upon your children. Soak it up till it's overflowing. I feel the blessing of the Lord. I feel the blessing of the Lord. I feel the peace of God.
Before we're dismissed, we're going to pray one last thing together. And I want everybody to pray this all this week. In fact, I recommend you pray it the rest of your life. As Jesus closes out the Lord's Prayer, he says these words. He says, "Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil." In the original Greek, it would read this way: "Lead us not into a test and deliver us from the evil one." We are going to pray, "God, lead us not into a test and deliver us from the evil one." In Jesus' name. You don't need no more tests. You need to tell God, "No more tests." And deliver us from the evil one. Is that good? Come on. Is that good? You don't need any more tests. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Love one another. God bless you. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.